Now, if you're a mother or parent here, the stillness and quiet of soul that I want to give to you from God's Word, maybe that will come whether your child is young or old as you begin to cut the apron strings. Of course, you care for them, you love them, you want them to do well, but you're not defined by their success.
Welcome to The God-Centered Life with Josh Moody. This is part two of a study we're calling The Humility of Greatness. It's coming from Psalm 131. It's in a series called Psalms of Ascents, My Journey. Josh Moody is senior pastor of College Church located in Wheaton, Illinois, and I'm your host, Todd Mosteed. Well, Josh, this message originally landed on Mother's Day, hence the mention in the teaser there. But the challenge of properly defining ourselves is universal, certainly not limited to just moms.
No, exactly not. And this issue of humility and what it really means to be humble is so important and so misconstrued, misunderstood, and so difficult to get right. So we're humble about our understanding of humility, and let's get into the text.
Sounds just about right. Quick review of the previous session, and then we'll move forward with the new material for today. Here's Josh.
If you turn with me to your Bibles, we're looking at Psalm 131. 131. Let's listen to God's Word. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. You can be whatever you want to be. You're an engineer at California Tech and you want to be a rock star. You can be whatever you want to be. Is that true? You can be whatever you want to be. So we have these sky-high expectations. And then at some point in life, we begin to realize that maybe that is not the case. Now, when someone like me, behind a big pulpit with a big Bible, begins to talk about humility, what you think I'm saying is that I'm trying to put you in a particular role of being, you know, don't get too big for your boots. Just stay low. But that's really not what the Bible, it's not what I'm trying to do, and it's not what the Bible is trying to do. I think the Bible's idea of humility, it's obviously here in Psalm 131, but also Jesus talks a lot about it. Blessed are the meek. Happy are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The Bible's idea of humility is really what's going to give you happiness. So Paul says, I have learned the secret of this, of contentment in any situation. So humility is what allows you, as David says, to be still and calm, to have a calm and quiet soul, to have that peace. And really that comes from the humility of greatness. In other words, I think the Bible, and this psalm in particular, is trying to reverse engineer, if you like, that phrase that we have been taught from the cradle, grade school, high school, even college sometimes, you can be whatever you want to be. Instead of saying, no, don't get too big for your boots. No, it's not saying that. It is saying, instead of that, reverse engineering it, to be happy, you need to be who you were made to be. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at this issue of the sort of self-esteem movement and what it's done for us. And we're going to look at this passage here about humility, the humility of greatness, because David was a great man and he's talking about it. And we're going to see what is humility, really, according to the Bible. Because we've got so many mistaken ideas out there. So we've really got to dig in to see, what does it mean by humility? How does God define it? What does the Bible say about it? This humility that produces happiness. So what is it? Then we're going to look, do I then really want it? Is this really something that I want? And then, of course, at the end, we're going to consider, how do I get it? How do I get this humility of greatness? So let's do that together. First, what is it? Then, do I want it? And then, how do I get it? First, what is humility? Well, look down with me at verse 1. Here's the definition. There are different definitions given in the Bible. Here's the one we're looking at this morning from Psalm 131, verse 1. He's not boasting about his humility when he talks in the first person about being humble, because if you like, this is a record of his own private journal. This is a record of the genuineness of his heart that he wrote in his private journal that he is now sharing. And that's why in verse 3 he then turns to sort of preach about it. O Israel, hope in the Lord. So he's sharing this experience authentically. So verse 1, O Lord, my heart, so it's about something deep inside, my attitude. The heart in the Bible is not just my thinking, not just my feeling, but the thinking-feeling unit. That's what the Hebrew idea of heart is. Who I am, my attitude, if you like. My heart is not lifted up. So he's not saying that his heart has been pushed down. This is not, let me give you low self-esteem. This is about not being too much. This is about level, being who you were made to be. An attitude, a look, a dream defined by God and who he's made you to be, not by anything else, not by anyone else. Anyone who puts you down, who lifts you up, but defined by God, not even the self-esteem movement. That's humility. Well, the question then comes, do I want it? Do I want this? So now look down with me then at verse 2. Do I want this humility? So what does he say then? But here's the result. The King James Version has surely here, and it has that sense in this part of Scripture, that this is a certain result, surely. But here's the result. I have calmed and quieted my soul. That is, because of the heart, the eyes, and the plans now being defined by God and who he has made me, then comes this plow that plows the field level, and I am calm, I am quiet. So again, what's the greatest gift I can give the mothers in this room? Here it is. Happiness. Peace. What's the proud person like? The proud person is someone who always thinks that their dreams are going to be what they're going to get. Whatever they want, they should have. And so they're not happy. They can never be happy. They can never not have anxious thoughts. If you're worried and stressed, chances are, here's a thought, could it be the reason why you are worried and stressed is you're proud? David didn't get worried and stressed once he realized that he was proud and once he had been weaned. It's resting in the sovereignty of God. It's resting in who you were designed to be. And yeah, this metaphor here is a little in your face, but then sometimes you need to be. Sometimes humorous insults can make a point. I'd rather like, perhaps you know this, Mark Twain, when he was once invited to a funeral, replied saying that he could not attend the funeral, but that he approved of it. Well, I think it was Groucho Marx who was invited out for an evening of entertainment, which he did not enjoy, and said, I have had a wonderful evening of entertainment, but this was not it. And he's saying about himself, you know what? When I was proud, I was a baby. You want to be like that? Charles Simeon, I think, said that the proud Christian is a contradiction in terms. Blessed are the meek. To be a Christian, you've got to receive from Jesus. He's not just saying it's a contradiction in terms. He's saying the proud Christian is like an adult still nursing. That's what he's saying. And then he was weaned. Now, if you're a mother or a parent here, the stillness and quiet of soul that I want to give to you from God's word, maybe that will come whether your child is young or old in the same way as you begin to cut the apron strings. Of course, you care for them, you love them, you want them to do well, but you're not defined by their success. What are you defined by? Your esteem isn't in their achievement. Your esteem is in who you are before God. Then you're happy. Not whether they look nice at church or whether they do well at school, whether they have a big job or not, but who you were made to be. And the funny thing about that, and here we're going to come to the third and last point, the funny thing about that is once you get that, then you begin to do what verse 3 does. So look down at verse 3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So this is a change. Can you see the change that happens in the text? Verses 1 and 2 about him and God. Now he turns around to look at God's people, or the world, those around him. And this is such a surprising shift from verse 2 to verse 3 that some scholars have wondered whether it wasn't part of the original text. But actually, this shift, this surprising shift, is exactly what happens when someone gets humble. They begin to have the greatness of soul to care for other people. Who is Jesus? I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. He was great. David, great king, humble. Moses, the meekest man on the face of the planet. Paul, I've learned the secret of contentment. That didn't mean he sat back and did nothing. No, that's pride. That's assuming that you get your dinner on a plate, if you like. Right? But once someone gets humble, then they start caring for other people. Who is the greatest, Jesus said? The greatest is the servant of all. Now they're not thinking about themselves. So humility is not putting yourself down. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking of yourself. It's being who you are as designed by God, which is to be like verse 3, looking out and saying to other people, put your hope in the Lord. So if you're a Christian and you're not active, if you're worrying a lot, we thought about that. If you're not active in service, in children's ministry, or telling people about Jesus, or teaching, or serving in one way or another, could it be you're still struggling with being weaned? You haven't got to verse 3, where you're now looking out to other people and saying, yeah, put your hope in the Lord. Yeah, now I'm defined by what I'm going to give, not what I receive. So this verse 3, as so often happens in the Bible, is both a result, once you get humble, you begin to care for other people, and a method for how to get this happiness that I think we all want. So he now has experienced this happiness that comes through humility, the stillness, the quietness, and then he looks out and he wants to give it to us. But how do we get that? Well, put your hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. What does that mean? In other words, the way to get humility is to believe that your best, your dream, the future, is all in God. Not your 401k, not the job you may or may not get, not the success or size of your ministry. It's all in God. Your hope is in God. When Jesus stills the storm, you get this calm, this quietness, and when he speaks, that storm doesn't stop like normal storms stop, and there's still waves going backwards and forwards. He speaks, and it is calm. When you put your hope in the Lord, it's not how well I look. It's not what other people think about me. It's not how well my children are doing. It's who I am as made by God. My dream, my hope, I'm believing that that future is all best purely in God and Him alone. As we close, let me tell you a personal story that I think illustrates this. My eldest son, as some of you know, is autistic. We've known this for a long time. We discovered when he was 2 or 3. But there was an incident a couple of years ago. And see, when you're autistic, one of the things that's hard for you is to really understand and empathize with it where other people are. A couple of years ago, I'd had an interesting week, you see. I'm a pastor. Sometimes I have interesting weeks. And I can't remember it all, but usually my interesting weeks are a combination of two things when I find them interesting. They're usually a combination of just receiving and having to give a lot of care to a lot of people in a lot of difficult situations. And I love to do that, it's a privilege, but I care for people. And sometimes when there's a lot of that, I can carry a lot of things. I've got big shoulders, reasonably. But when that carries on, and, you know, I get a little bit of criticism. Never happens to me, of course, but but when you get a combination of those two things, and there's a lot of both of those, sometimes it becomes, as I say, an interesting week. And it was a couple of years ago, and I got home, and I was trying to do verse 3. I think I was sitting on the floor in our living room, and I was trying to do verse 3. My hope is in the Lord. Not anything else, it's in Jesus. Right? And I may have even been crying. I probably not, I'm British, so. So there I was, and my autistic son, first and only time he's ever done this, he's on the other side of the room, he sees me, he walks across the room, he gives me a hug. Now, I'm telling that story not just because it's so emotional, but because for you to break the trap of pride and discover the humility of greatness and the happiness that comes means to put your hope in the Lord. That is, to see what and who your Father is and be defined by Him, by God, what He cares for. Then the whole game changes. Suddenly we're a church where we have to turn people away from serving in children's ministry. Well, there aren't enough spots. Everyone is trying to tell other people to put their hope in the Lord. We're telling our friends about Jesus. We're teaching, we're preaching. All of our energy is in Him. And then, here's the kicker. And then we live in verse 2. Stillness, quiet, happiness. Whether the children are doing well or poorly. Whether our career is doing, whether our economy is doing well or poorly. Because our esteem is about who God is and how He has made us to be. Well, let's pray. I think we all want this. Here's the solution to put our hope in the Lord. So let's do that together. Father, we want to see the world through your eyes. You who gave your only Son. You, the giving, graceful God, not considering equality with God something to be grasped, but gave himself, becoming a servant, obedient even unto death. As Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Father, help us to not be spiritually autistic, but to be a giving people. To look at the world and its needs, and not define ourselves by all those needs, but by who God has made us to be, and so giving as we can towards that mission, that agenda. Help us, Father, to seek first your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to find all our hope in you and all our esteem from you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, Father, help us to define ourselves by that statement at the cross, by that love, and so discover the humility of greatness, to be servant of all, the happiness, the calm, the quiet, in the midst of everything. Father, I pray that will be a blessing for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's Josh Moody, and this is The God-Centered Life. So, Josh, you laid out the shift. So we've got Psalm 131. We have verses 1 and 2 being about God. But then 3, there's a shift there. It looks to other people. And you refer to verse 3 as both a result and a method. Recap mm-hmm. that shift for us. I think it's pretty important.
Yeah. So when you become like a calm and quiet my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, when you're in that place, it's God, I trust you. I can't figure it out. It's up to you, and I just trust you, and I'm going to live my life that way. When you do that, there are certain results, and one of the results is you start caring about other people. It's no longer all about you. And you start caring in particular about God's people. And so now here he is. He says, O Israel, hope in the Lord. He's now thinking about God's people. Hmm. The first part is all about him, even as he's being humble. It's about him being humble.
Right.
But of course, real humility is, it's not like you're not really thinking about yourself at all. And he's not. He's thinking about other people.
Yeah.
He's thinking about God's people. So it's a result. But it's also a mechanism. So how do we get there? One of the ways to get there is to start to care about other people, in particular God's people. And, it's like you're putting on the clothes of Christ and you're acting in that kind of way. You start proactively to care about other people, about God's people. You put on the clothes of the characteristics of humility and you gradually get used to wearing those clothes.
You say in the study, becoming humble brings about the greatness of serving others. We hope in the Lord and as such find the freedom to serve others. A nice dynamic there.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you, Josh. GodCenteredLife.org, that's our website. We have a couple other ways you can reach us if the internet is not the most convenient for you at the moment. 833-425-5622 would be our phone number, or you can drop us a line, God-Centered Life, P.O. Box 1025, Wheaton, Illinois, 60187. Why do we want you to contact us? Because we're curating resources specifically designed to help you develop that God-centered life. There's books. There's a daily devotional that Josh has written. There are past studies that are available on the website, so you can dive into other books of the Bible and see what they have to say to you. We also have an opportunity for you to partner with us. We're passionate about getting gospel-centered teaching in as many channels as possible. That requires funds, and if you're able to donate any amount, we will say thank you by sending you a little book that Josh has written. It's called How Christmas Can Change Your Life. Answers to the 10 most common questions about Christmas. We'll send that to you in return for a donation of any amount. Once again, the website, GodCenteredLife.org. Next time we get together, but God said,
the best laid plans of mice and men go oft awry. We know this is true for small things like dinner plans, but what about if you feel that something has not taken place that was promised to you by God?
We'll continue our study in the book of Psalms. When we get together next time, one more reminder, GodCenteredLife.org, our website, and this is your invitation to join us for the next edition of The God-Centered Life with Josh Moody.